You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
Well, I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show of the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to do so. The phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have any of those, so let's get started. Let me make sure I got this switched on. I do with Trucker Bob.
Hey, Ryan. This is Trucker Bob.
What's going on?
I'm sitting in my chair at home waiting to go to the dentist. Yay!
It's the best.
Yeah, yuck. Anyway, I took a little break from listening to Packer podcasts and everything until all of a sudden I see on the news that Aaron Jones is not coming back. And then I figured, whoops, I better get back into the flow of things here. But anyways, I'm not calling about the Aaron Jones thing. I basically have two questions for you. So far, Green Bay's lost three offensive linemen to either injury or just cut loose. And anyways, my question number one is, do you think Green Bay is going to draft three or possibly even four offensive linemen in this upcoming draft? I'm thinking three, but it would not surprise me if they picked four, because that seems to be a great need right now. That's my first question. My second question is about Bakhtiari.
Well, I guess go ahead, since it's Bakhtiari.
Do you think Bakhtiari is going to the Hall of Fame? Did his career get ruined by the last 3 years of injuries? And so he goes out as a great tackle, but not quite a Hall of Famer, because his career is kind of cut short because of his injuries. Or do you think he gets picked up by somebody and has a couple of good years, and then he'll definitely qualify? Well, I just thought it was an interesting question. Anyways, Trucker Bob going to go see the dentist this morning. I'll catch you later. Bye.
Oh, well, as far as the offensive line, I definitely think so. And I think you put that in a good way, that, you know, it's not just a question of, you know, Bakhtiari and are we okay with Walker? We lost three guys. And regardless of anyone's opinion of those three, that's a big deal. And essentially, I mean, you've got two that were for sure starters and one that was a high quality backup. And I mean, this is a team that values offensive line. They draft multiple offensive linemen even when they don't necessarily need them. They've always drafted offensive line. So I think you're right. I think, you know, obviously we don't know how things are going to shake out, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are multiple swings. You're probably right. Three is it's a good place to put the plus or minus, right? Will they take three plus or minus, call it 2.5 or something. As far as the Hall of Fame, man, it's a fun thing to kind of look into, and I found a way to kind of do it, but I can't really necessarily do it on the fly. So that might be something in the future to look into. Not only for Bakhtiari, but also maybe some other people. Who else could possibly make it that's on the team currently and what they would need to do to get there? But I honestly don't know. I would lean toward no. It's hard to know how a guy gets into the Hall of Fame. I mean, if we're just looking baseline talent, I mean, he's up there. But at the same time, man, there's a lot of tackles that are, you know, historically, but also just right now. I mean, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys that are currently playing that you could probably say are at that level, which is, I mean, elite tackles. So as it's tough to say, to be honest. And really, to me, that stuff is all irrelevant, not only because I think the people that vote on it are kind of a joke and whatever criteria they use is silly, but Bakhtiari is what he is. You know, and whether he makes the Hall of Fame, I'm sure it makes a big difference to him. And I guess for his sake, I would hope he does. If it, you know, I'm sure it would mean a lot to him. But his career will never get better or worse than what it is. You know, I mean, as far as what he did on the football field, and he is, you know, one of the better tackles the Packers have probably ever had. And they've had some good ones.
What's going on? It's Omar the Firefighter. How y'all doing? Just calling about two things, or maybe more, who knows? Much time I get. One funny thing that happened, I was listening to a podcast, and and right after a commercial blatted with what you said, like when it went off, you was like, you're like, all right, we'll hear from Steve in Alaska. And it was like, the legends are true. And I was like, yeah, legends are true. Steve Alaska is a bad A mother effer. Like, yes, the legends are true. It was just a problem for me because the commercials picked up like right when you said that. And it gave our man from Alaska even more swag than he needed. So just thought that was funny. Another thing is, this is, we're off topic from football, but I know you play games sometimes. I was wondering, I don't think you have a PS5, but I got a PS5, but it's this game called Helldivers 2 that is like taking over. And I'm sure some listeners probably played it, and if you haven't, I suggest you get it. It's cross-play, so you can play on a PC or PS5.
Man.
And it's basically Starship Troopers and Terminator. It's you either killing bugs on different planets or you killing machines. And you're like a Marine, and you're just shooting, and you team up with like three other people.
Yes.
And it's very fun. I'm many different people on this game, and it's, I mean, you will have a blast playing it. It's funny because like Starship Troopers is like a little parody. It's like a parody, you know, at the same time as being a great action video game. So I definitely recommend it. It's not hard at all to play, so you can learn it.
Shut your mind off.
It's not like, you know, a lot of the other shooters where it might be a little difficult for some people. It's pretty even across the board, and you're not really killing other people. You're killing bugs or robots. So definitely highly recommend that game. And as far as the Packer, big question. If anybody has a PS5, y'all can hit me up for a request and just send me a message and say you're a Packers fan, and I'll accept it. My name is Psycho Crazy.
Oh, yeah, that was you.
But it's spelled SYKE-O and crazy with a K. And it's a picture of the Green Ranger, green and yellow, just like the Packers. So y'all can definitely add me. I have no problems playing with y'all on that game. Anyway, quick Packers question is, if you could only address one position in the draft, which we're not, would it be a guard or a tackle? You let me know. All right, bye.
Can I cheat and say a tackle that you can kick inside? Can I just pick Graham Barton or something? I mean, if I could just snap my fingers and we have one that's solid, it'd probably be a guard. I think that would have to be that. That might not be the right answer. You know, it's kind of like, would you rather have a quarterback or a wide receiver? And you know, your quarterback's okay, but not great, but you definitely need a wide receiver. You should still take the quarterback kind of thing. But, I'd probably go guard because we don't have it and we need it. So I am going to still cheat a little bit and say, the guard that I would like has some tackle flexibility, which technically, I mean, that's still got Elton Jenkins, man. He had a solid year, I think, at right tackle or whatever. So, I guess I will concede that that is my answer.
Hi, this is Andy stuck in Kansas.
Hey.
I was curious, Ryan, if you would do a part of a show, or at least an update as far as the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings offseason so far, especially the offensive line and the defensive line for both teams.
So, tell you what, Andy, I did do that, so let's get to your second call.
Hey, Ryan, it's Andy again. Thinking about our 11 draft picks, if we had to choose how many of each position, I was wondering what you thought about three offensive linemen, two safeties, one cornerback, two linebackers, a defensive lineman, an edge player, and a running back. And then with the asterisk, what if we don't want a running back this year? at least not drafted. You need an undrafted free agent running back because we already have three. If you didn't do a running back in this year's draft, what could you fill in instead? I was thinking maybe three linebackers instead of two. Obviously, if we can get some good trade down scenarios that I mentioned in a past phone call, that would work, I think, pretty well. As far as the Vikings, I mentioned already, if they stay with two first-round picks instead of combining them, that's one thing. But if they did combine them, Arizona would probably be the team that would, I think, trade most favorably with them. Arizona has pick 27. They could pick up 11 and 23 by trading the Vikings pick 4 and probably throw in their third-round pick. Arizona has 3 third-round picks. Minnesota, I don't believe, has any. They might have one late because of the Hockenson trade. No, maybe that's a 4th. Anyway, Minnesota's looking for stuff, I know, on day 2 or early day 3. So as far as the trade value points goes, Arizona could certainly use that. They have nobody at pass rush. They have nobody at wide receiver. 3 first-round picks would certainly do them a lot of good. But tell me what you think about as far as the breakdown of positions that we need. You might need 3 linebackers. Just wonder about that. Bye.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, you covered the main ones. I mean, another linebacker would be good. Tight end, I think, could be a consideration. I wouldn't mind even going another offensive lineman, another edge. But any of those combinations, I think, would be just fine. And then, yeah, as far as the trade goes, I think you're right about sort of the range. But we got to see. It would be kind of interesting if the Cardinals traded back with Minnesota, picked up those 2 firsts, traded back again, got another 2 firsts, and just completely loaded up. It would be smart if they could pull it off. Not sure if it's smart for the Packers necessarily or even Minnesota, but time will tell.
Hey, Ryan, this is Andy from Still Stuck in Kansas.
Hey.
This is March 21st today. Hearing more about, you know, the moves the Minnesota Vikings are making. I know I called earlier about that team, but it keeps coming up, so I had a few more thoughts. Yeah, they traded up into the first round again with pick 23, which is an aggressive move. And it seems to make sense to a lot of people that the following action to an aggressive move is another aggressive move. I don't necessarily think that that's very good at all. I mean, a lot of people do things that way. Kids will challenge each other to things like the milk mile. Have you heard about this? Where you're supposed to chug an entire gallon of milk, which is an aggressive move, and then run a mile, which is the follow-up aggressive move. That seems to be a gag, you know, not really a smart thing. So if Minnesota is thinking of bundling 11 and 23 and moving up as their second aggressive move, well, okay, I guess they're in that vein of thinking. I don't think that's a very good idea, though. And if people are saying, well, they're doing it to get a quarterback, then that means the Minnesota Vikings believe, get this, that they have one more move they need to make by being this aggressive. That seems like this is the all-in move. It's to get a quarterback, which means the last piece that they want to put on their team is a quarterback. Nobody manages a roster that way. Nobody builds everything up and puts the quarterback as the last piece. That doesn't make any sense at all. So, they could be. I mean, obviously that looks like it's the obvious thing to do, but I don't know. Like my last call, I'm kind of wondering if that's really what they're doing. Second thing, if you could look into this would be great. The San Francisco 49ers have, I think, retooled pretty much their entire defensive line, if I see that correctly, as well as quite a few new pieces on the linebacker core. I don't know if this means that they think they've got something or if they think that they just need to reshuffle everything. And this is one of those, you know, how the Super Bowl curse hits the team, right? They figure we're one game away from winning it all. Let's make a few changes. And in the end, it ends up being kind of a desperation thing. And it kind of falls apart, which is, of course, our hope. But check out the defensive line. See some of the new faces on there. I think we should draft a O-lineman in the first round. I think Detroit will want to do that. I think Kansas City is going to want to do that. Teams that are behind us. And I think if we're going to stick and pick, go O-line so that we get a guy before them. Thanks. Bye.
Well, yeah, I have very little doubt Minnesota's trying to move up or put themselves in a position to get a quarterback. I mean, they're in a bad spot, missing out on, or, you know, sounds like they tried to retain Kirk Cousins and it just didn't work this time. So he's officially gone. They've got Sam Darnold. It's a complete mess. I see absolutely no reason at this stage to package picks and move into the first round when you don't even know how the board's going to fall, unless you need to do that in order to make a move up to get the quarterback. And I think that's what the Vikings are doing. I don't think any GM, but especially, you know, the data GM, so to speak, is going to just randomly package picks and just jump into the first round just because it's probably going to be dope. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense. They're trying to get up ammunition so that they can move up. Now, the part of that that's iffy to me is you would have to think that you would talk to them beforehand, right? I mean, look at the Arizona Cardinals, for example. I would want to talk to them and say, look, if I have these picks, would you be willing to trade back? Because they probably know roughly how the board's going to fall. There's a very good chance the top wide receiver is going to be there. I would think they want them, but if they don't, you know, can we work out a deal now? I mean, let's do this. What I don't think would be smart, and it kind of feels like that's where we're at because it's been a long time since they made that trade and there's no other moves, is moving and then just hoping something falls into place. Because you might just end up getting stuck. And you could say, well, you know, it's not really stuck. It's two first-round picks. It's not that bad. It's kind of bad. I mean, trading up in general is usually a losing strategy. Doing it just for giggles doesn't really make a lot of sense. And because no other deal has been done, and I'm sure they're trying to maneuver still, because obviously you're not getting a quarterback where you're sitting. It's just, it's not coming to fruition. And like I said, I don't think they have the capital right now to be able to get up high enough. So I think they would need to make one more move before they make a final move to be able to get up and get their quarterback. But I don't know. Otherwise, they would rather come into the draft with two firsts and just hope, you know, fingers crossed. But I think that's a really terrible way to play it. And if things fall in such a way that they don't get a quarterback out of this, this was a failure. And they will spin it all kinds of ways, and they'll say all kinds of stuff. The only way any of this makes sense is if you're able to make a big jump and get one of the top quarterbacks. If they end up with Bo Nix and a wide receiver, and they're like, see, it worked out great, because we wouldn't have been able to get Bo Nix if we didn't trade up. Like, bro, bull crap. You could have traded up day of, and probably should have, because you never know how the board's going to fall. So I'm still anticipating something to happen prior to the draft. They need to be in position to get the quarterback that they want before the clock starts on the first pick. Otherwise, I'm not super confident. As far as the 49ers, yeah, I mean, I think they did make some all-in moves. I think a lot of the top-ish teams will do that, and whether it works or not, the point is you're going to kind of purge, right? It's kind of a binge and purge thing where we go and grab these guys on one-year deals, and then they end up going bye-bye. I mean, that was the guy from Washington that came out. It was a short-term thing. It was never really expected to last. And the thing that I've kind of come to learn is I always get excited whenever the purge happens, thinking, ha, you're done now. And some teams just never go away. And the 49ers have seemingly been one of those teams that refuse to go away. We'll see if they start to decline. But they seem to want to linger. And I think they've got a good enough quarterback. I think they've got the coach. I think they've got enough pieces, kind of like the Chiefs, where I don't really see them vanishing. But they might. You never know. Maybe, you know, at some point there is a point of no return where you've lost too much. And, the defense is a big part of what they do. And if you can't put the pieces together enough, then you're going to be in trouble. But the 49ers are better than any team I think I've ever seen in making things work when there's nothing there. I mean, it's just like Hufanga comes out of nowhere and just plays well. And, like, you know, the quarterback, it doesn't matter what quarterback is there, they play well. And it's just like, come on, man. They have no offensive line. They still run really well. I don't know how they do what they do, but we'll see. And then, yeah, offensive line, I think there's going to be a big run on offensive linemen. And I think a lot of them are going to go early, probably first round, maybe spill a little bit into the second round, but just tons and tons of offensive linemen, let's say in the top 40, I think are going to end up going. I'm not sure how the draft shakes out after that. So you might be right. And, you know, get in early if you want to get one. We'll see. Anyways, why don't we take a break? We'll come back and hear from TJ from Alabama. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
Hey, Ryan, TJ from Alabama.
What's up?
Just kind of listening to the program, thinking about it, kind of laughing at the, you know, Justin Fields being traded for a bag of donuts kind of thing. And that makes me interested. But kind of where are we? You know, we know we've had a better quarterback history than the Bears, but, you know, what does the numbers show? And looking at it, and obviously the Bears' record is like 38 as far as yards and 28 touchdowns. So just looking at it, we've had 25 seasons of quarterback play better than the Bears' best season ever as a quarterback, as far as yards are concerned. 25 different years that had had more yards than the Bears' record yards. And we've had 18 more seasons of more touchdowns than the Bears' record for touchdowns. So it makes me think, you know, clearly that's not random chance. You know, right. There's a culture there. There's right. a process. There's an aspect of that I think is real. And it's sort of like that silly narrative that everybody had, not everybody as far as you or the listeners of this program, but the national narrative that the Packers can't possibly get three quarterbacks in a row that are good. And in my head, that's like absolutely the wrong bit of thinking. We have a much better chance of getting a third quarterback in a row because we have a process and a culture that's been established to produce that. Where I think there's a much better chance that Jordan Love turns into a Hall of Famer than it is that Caleb Williams turns into a decent quarterback. Have nothing to specifically to do with Caleb Williams. It's where he's going. And the culture of the Bears is not quarterback play. That's obvious. The culture of the Packers is quarterback play. So it's much more likely that Packers are going to have three Hall of Famers in a row than it is that Caleb Williams is even going to be an All-Pro. The odds are much better in the Packers' favor. Bears are known for defense, so they have a culture of defense. And they're likely going to draft players that end up being good defensive players. And they even have coaches and everything lined up to have a good defense, and they're not there to have a good offense. In addition to that, you got Detroit and Minnesota that kind of don't have any culture at all. That's why they just kind of always sort of middling and never go anywhere. Last little thing is the draft. Really looking forward to that once we get to there. Obviously, it's a long time. But, you know, Goody is often doubled up or tripled up when we have a need and there's a strength in the draft. And this year, I think we have a need for interior offensive linemen or offensive linemen overall. And I think that's the strength of the draft. I could see this year Goody actually quadrupling up and drafting four offensive linemen.
Yeah.
That's about it. Tell me what you think.
No, I think you're right. I think that's entirely possible. I mean, again, it always depends on where the board's going to fall, but I think they're going to want to go heavy. Again, they take pride in it. They know how important it is, and they got to make sure they have the guys, and they're going to do that. Now, these might not all be early picks, obviously. There's probably going to be several late-round picks, but that's why I said it's kind of over under 2.5-3 kind of in my head as far as where it's going to go. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it can't be random chance to some extent. Now, you know, there's that saying a broken clock is right twice a day, and this could be that situation. Caleb Williams is just sitting there. They're sitting at the number one overall pick. There's several inept teams like the Jets who have had great picks, but almost every single one of them is a top 10 pick. It's because it's just these no-brainer guys that are just falling into your lap. And that could be the Caleb Williams situation. Now, to be fair, Mitch Trubisky was the number one pick, and that was a flop. They had the number one pick last year when C.J. Stroud was available. They chose not to do it. Now, I don't know how many times you can get the first overall pick and mess it up. And again, so maybe this is the time they get it right. But you're right. I mean, there's issues not only with evaluation, which is basically nullified in this situation. There's no evaluation to be done. Caleb Williams is kind of the consensus across the board. Like I said, I think all 32 teams in that situation would probably go Caleb. Maybe one or two wouldn't, I don't know. But even then, there is still a cultural element to it. You know, I don't think, I honestly believe Jordan Love is an example of a guy that you can quote unquote ruin. I don't buy that as much as people throw it around, but he obviously needed a lot of time to grow. And if he had been starting since day one, I don't know if he gets to this point, especially if he doesn't have Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers and all these great quarterback coaches that he's been dealing with and offensive coordinators. You go over to Chicago, where you're going to start day one. I'm not saying Caleb is Jordan, but you got to start day one. You have high expectations. You're in a city that's going to be in your head already because everyone's going to be telling you the Bears, they ruin quarterbacks. They've never had a good quarterback. There's a curse, all this stuff. You have a defensive head coach. You have an offensive coordinator that's never really done anything. And folks in Seattle didn't seem to care for him a ton. You have a quarterback coach that is not an established quarterback coach. I mean, it's just, there are ways to do it right and there are ways to do it wrong. And you can do it wrong and get it right. And you can do it right and get it wrong because there are no guarantees. But yeah, you're right. When you look at the full spectrum and you see the Chicago Bears history and the Packers history and look at how long that history is, you realize that there is a difference in doing it right and doing it wrong. And I would start with essentially culture. And a lot of these teams don't have good cultures because they have owners. You can't have this football culture with football guys that know how to do football stuff when you have owners constantly meddling. And on top of that, it's owners that are picking these quote-unquote football guys, and they don't know what to look for. How do they know? You got to have a football culture through and through with football people that know football stuff. Because at the end of the day, you can't, I mean, the what Green Bay does is not a secret. Guys have literally written books about it. On top of that, every single Green Bay Packer at some point, or at least somewhere down the ranks, is going to end up somewhere else. The entire NFL has been flooded with guys. I mean, the Raiders had a Ted Thompsonite, and Seattle has had a Ted Thompsonite, and right now the Patriots are sitting with a guy, and the Lions right now have a Ted Thompson guy under their in their administrative staff. They're all over the place. So, I mean, you can't just act like you're just going to keep all the secrets. There are no secrets, but you've got to get good football people and you got to let them do their job. And it's shocking how often that just doesn't happen. Because again, this, I hate to say it's not rocket science, but there is a system and all the guys in there know what the system is. And there are varying degrees of execution and how good they are at evaluating and doing all these things and decision-making and process. I understand that. But even that is understood. Everybody knows how the process goes. They've everybody knows what the Packers do and how they do it. Everybody knows it. And if you don't know, they could pick up the phone and talk to somebody who is either there or has been there, and they will tell you the process. Doing it is a whole other thing. Anyways, let's take our final break. We'll come back and hear from Kyle from Madison.
What's up, Ryan?
Kyle from Madison. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I'm going through offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if maybe you can shed some light on something I'm wondering. Historically, seems like the Packers like to draft the very toolsy, athletic offensive tackle and then, you know, kind of move them wherever they want. Certainly not afraid to move them to guard. My question is, because I'm, like, going through mock drafts, of course, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know, it's just,
same.
Who looks interesting? Who's got the high RAF score, right?
Yep.
But I realized that I have no idea what makes an offensive lineman somebody suitable to even kick inside. Obviously, if they have snaps at multiple positions, yeah, that's obvious, right? But if they don't, I'm curious, what makes an offensive tackle attractive to the Packers, at least somebody that they, do you think, like, what are the factors that you think the Packers would be looking at, or any team really, when it comes to whether or not a guy can move from tackle inside to guard? I mean, are there some hallmarks of, like, or some indicator that a person can do that just from the metrics, or is that purely something that scouts see on film as far as just maybe how they are with, like, the fluidity of their hips or something a little bit more subjective like that? Or do we see stuff in the numbers where it's like, oh yeah, that guy's, you know, this weight and this height and this strength, So he projects also at guard or tackle, or is it just kind of a crapshoot, like when you draft a wide receiver and play him in the slot, or maybe that isn't even a crapshoot. What do I know? But just curious, because I'm kind of like drafting guys for fun and then realizing I don't really know if they would project size. And so with that said, I guess the second part of my question would be, obviously Zach Tom like slayed at right tackle. That was like, looking back, that's probably the second or third most awesomely surprising thing behind Love and some of the receivers' development, maybe the tight end. Certainly one of the best developments last year was how Zach Tom like became a top five right tackle. So I'm hesitant to move him, but just as a thought exercise, is he better suited, you think, physically for guard? And if that's the case, do they draft the right tackle, kick him inside, maybe even Jenkins to center, look at a left guard? Just wondering, like, of the players we have, if you dismiss the idea that it's a terrible idea to move a tackle that's top five, is there an assortment of people we have now that maybe could be suited a little better at different positions? All right, peace.
Well, it's funny because, you know, as far as the NFL draft cycle and the media and whatnot goes, the only real criteria seems to be arm length. Basically, guard as seen as like, you know how they say like a corner is a wide receiver that can't catch? That's how they view guards. Like, you're an offensive lineman. If you were bigger and taller and longer, you would be a tackle and more athletic. But if you lack in those areas, not athletic enough, don't have long enough arms, you're probably a guard. As far as metrics and whatnot go, metrics would be, you know, height and weight and all that. There's only a couple things that come to mind for me as far as just at a glance. Number one is, and this is not a hard and fast rule, one of the reasons I didn't like Zach Tom on the interior, although the Packers seem to love him there, is that Zach Tom is more of a tall, long, athletic type. He's not very beefy, so he makes me nervous on the interior because you're going up against defensive tackles, so you want a bigger guy. And also, although there are several of them, I don't like the 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", whatever guys, because as you get to the interior, you're more about size and leverage. So if you're, you know, 6'4", 325, you're a guard, you're not a tackle. If you're 6'7", 310, you're probably a tackle, not a guard. So it's a question of, do you want this guy going up against these speed bend edge rushers, or do you want him inside going up against, you know, Kenny Clark? The other thing, and I don't know if you have access to this, but PFF is a really quick and easy reference. If they've played guard or played multiple positions in the past, that's just a pretty good indication that they, you know, have that flexibility. So if they are projected as a tackle, but they played, you know, center and then guard and then, you know, left tackle and then right tackle, they're coming into the NFL projected as a right tackle, but they have experience everywhere. That's pretty much the best I can do. I'm sure there's much more nuanced things as far as, you know, from a film watching X's and O's perspective, but I think those are just some kind of quick and easy, the quick and dirties.
Hey, Ryan, it's Jersey Mike.
Hey.
I haven't called in a while. Things have been really hectic trying to move. And, you know, a lot of things keep piling on top of each other. And so I'm calling in just to ask for some thoughts and some prayers for me and my wife right now.
Sorry, dude.
We're going through a really, really rough problem. Not between the two of us. I put all of my stuff in a camper to move it up north, tow it up north so that I can buy a piece of property. And last time me and my wife left Texas for up north, we blew out both the tires on her van. Well, now we blew out both the tires and the axles on our camper. And we are stuck waiting for assistance. The insurance company refused to tow the vehicle. The company who I have roadside assistance through, the RV center that I bought it from, refuses to do roadside assistance. So now I'm out a crap ton of money to get a specialized wrecker service to come and bring us to an RV center who can repair, hopefully, within enough time for us to get back on the road and not hate our lives. So just asking for, you know, some thoughts and prayers and hopefully the stressful situation somehow has some light to it. Yeah, I'm thinking this is like last season for the Green Bay Packers. You know, the wheels fell off and then all of a sudden we became superstars. So can I have a little bit of that? Go Pack, go.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. I mean, you start getting old like us. You've been through crap like that. You know, you hit those periods where it's just like, bro, I can't freaking deal with this right now, you know, or insurmountable problems, whether it's financial or otherwise. It's hard to see the light on the other side, but, you know, generally there always is one. You know, there's a point at which you're at least through the storm, you know. So whether that's in an hour or a couple days, weeks, months, a year, I don't know. But at some point it's over and you're moving on. So sorry you're going through it, man. We all got to take turns, and I guess it's your turn. So yeah, we'll be thinking about you, praying for you, and hopefully you get that all figured out and sorted out pretty soon. And yeah, so like I said, if anybody wins the lottery, make sure Jersey Mike gets a little bit, all right? He needs some help.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Kyle from Madison. How are you?
Good, you?
So I have a confession to make about the Bears. And it is this. I'm wondering if I've underestimated the level at which Justin Fields has held back the Chicago Bears. Offense in particular, but writ large, the Chicago Bears. They have a decent roster, you know. They've got some guys, and I just wonder if they might not be, even with a rookie quarterback who I think they will hopefully ultimately destroy. But I still think they could do something next year if we've all really underestimated how badly, you know, Fields really had that thing stuck in neutral. Hopefully not. Hopefully they're just trash. I mean, the vote of confidence from Jackson Smith and Jigba about their new offensive coordinator is one of the most hilarious bits of comedy I've heard in a while. But I don't know. Just want your thoughts on that. Peace out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think a lot of Packer fans are doing the whole don't worry about it. The Bears don't know how to figure out quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera. They're convinced that Fields is a good quarterback. He just got ruined by the Bears. I am not. I'm not saying the Bears are good at it. But, I mean, like you said, they have a good enough roster that if they draft a guy that is like a C.J. Stroud good, look at what happened to the Texans. They're flying into the playoffs, and you're talking, you know, maybe not the most likely, but certainly possible they could be in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I'm not going to pretend that that isn't a possibility. You know, they have a good enough offensive line. They sure as heck have good enough weapons with the wide receivers, decent enough running back group, and Cole Kmet is a decent enough tight end. That offense, there's no reason it can't be a very good offense. All they need is a solid quarterback. Are they going to get that? I don't know. But, I mean, that's just the part that sucks. I mean, if he is as advertised, if he is the next Pat Mahomes, we're just kind of screwed. You know, I don't know what else to say. It doesn't really matter. And that's the other side of the coin. It's like, you know, when you got a guy like Fields, it doesn't matter really. I mean, yeah, the roster sucked, but it didn't matter how much they built it up because Fields was going to hold it back. If you get a guy like Mahomes, it kind of doesn't matter how much everything else sucks. You're just always going to be a good team. So, but, you know, we've been through this before. I was scared of Mitch Trubisky. I was scared of Justin Fields, and I'll be scared of this guy too. And if he has a bad year, I'm going to be scared that next year he figures it out. And, you know, it's just a cycle that never ends, and we'll probably do it with the Vikings too. That's just how it goes. But you know what? The Packers just swung and hit on another one. So worst case scenario, the Vikings and the Bears get good quarterbacks, and it just means that, you know, they're on par with the Packers. So there you go. Anyways, it's getting late here, folks. I'm going to head out. You guys have a good rest of your day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.